Hallelujah. Well, we're going to worship God with our tithes and offerings, but I've got a little bit lengthier offering message. Pastor Shelley is on her way in. We're continuing to intercede and pray. Thank you guys all for your prayers and intercessions. It's working. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He is so faithful. He's a healer and a restorer. And we have no doubt. Somebody say, no doubt. Amen. So, hallelujah. She's going to be here, and we're going to have sit in these chairs and tell you about the awesome things God is doing in several missionary groups around the world that we've supported for several years, many years. Amen. But I want to talk to you right now about this thing called the Great Commission. Somebody say the Great Commission, right? And if you have your Bible, open it to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And I'm going to start reading at verse 14. And it says, later, he appeared to the 11. Somebody say later. Sometimes I just start reading, especially when I'm teaching like this, sometimes I'll just start reading a scripture and the Holy Ghost says, stop right there. The word later, somebody say later. I was enjoying watching some of the NBA finals. I heard the WNBA Portland team won last night. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Shay. That's powerful. Glory to God. Somebody say, go Portland. Preach the gospel in Portland. Amen. But the New York Knicks won the national championship for the first time since I was 2 years old. I don't remember the last time they won. I didn't think they had won in my lifetime. But 1973, and oh man, the last game in New York was remarkable. Totally. I mean, they came back from like 29 points down and won. It's like the biggest comeback in the history. Somebody say comeback. The biggest comeback. Somebody say later. And they were interviewing the most valuable player last night. What's his name? Munson? Yeah. Yeah. What a great player. And they were asking him about the comeback and how they've been playing. And he goes, basically he said, well, a lot of times we just show up late. Because the other team gets a nice comfortable lead, and all of a sudden they start coming on. Somebody say later. He said, the day might start at 8:30, but we'll show up at 9. Somebody say, hold on. The answer is on the way. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, right? I love the slogan I've heard for years that God's never early, he's never late, he's always right on time. Hallelujah, right? We'd like it now. But somebody say, hang in there and keep working, keep serving. I love Billy Burke's anointing and the way he teaches. He's like, in the realm of healing, the physical healing of your body, he's like, healing sometimes is immediate. We've seen those stories in the Bible. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes God uses medicine and miracles and a combination of things, right? But he said, you just keep coming. You don't know which prayer is going to get it. You don't know which confession or which message you're hearing or the time you just come one more. Somebody say, one more time. And there it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Remember my grandma, alive and good, before she went to heaven, she would always, her little goodbye thing was, see you after later. See you after later. And I'm pretty sure that I was 22, 23, and going on my first airplane trip to California, and she had been close to the gates of heaven, dealing with some health things, and I'm pretty sure that's what she told me when I said goodbye to her. Bye, Grandma, love you, and see you after later. Well, guess what? She's right. I came home and she was in heaven, but I'm going to see her after later. Hallelujah, right? Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, right? They crucified him. They brutally tortured him, nailed him to a cross, whipped him, jammed a crown of thorns on his head. Somebody say, but wait till later. The devil thought he won, but somebody say, just wait till later, though. One of the things that would put a chill down my spine was when mom would say, wait till dad gets home. When your dad gets home, oh man, was I nice after that. Because maybe mom might forget or have mercy. He was in the grave for 3 days, but later was coming. Somebody say later was coming. And here we go. Later, he appeared. Somebody say he appeared. Somebody say he's going to appear. Your healing will appear. Your blessing will appear. Your breakthrough shall, somebody say, as surely as Jesus is Lord, shall appear. Just hold on. Just keep going. Just keep praising. Keep praying. Stay in the word, because later is coming and today is the day of salvation. You expect it every day. I mean, we know the rapture is coming later, but we also know later might be now. Somebody say later could be now. Wow. Isn't God good? Later he appeared, this is after he rose, to the 11. Uh-oh, 11, that means something happened to one of them. Judas, amen? Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. I mean, can you see their faces? And see, they'd already heard from the ladies. Scott, my brother-in-law, mentioned a couple weeks ago that and we talk about this a lot, we don't discourage women from being in the ministry. A lot of people get off, not a lot, you all, but there are Christians, believe it or not, that think women have no right to be up speaking in front of people. And yet Jesus, the first people he told to go tell were women. Hallelujah. So they'd already told these guys, we saw him. They're long-faced. Randy, can you get the door? The reverend is arriving. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. We'll just let her come in a moment. But somebody say, he appeared to them. They heard he was risen, but they did not believe it. Somebody say, believe it. Everybody look up here. Don't look over there. Yeah. Somebody say, believe. Believe. Because you know why you want to believe? Because if I don't believe, that does not please my Lord and my Savior. How many want to please God? Then believe. Believe him. Somebody say, if you believe him, you'll see him. If you believe him, he'll appear. Your answer, your breakthrough is at the door. Somebody say glory. And how many know Jesus now doesn't need a door? How many know he is the door? He is the door. So stay, what should we do then? Somebody say, stay open to him. Open. How many of you are open for a supernatural breakthrough? So, I mean, you're open to the idea. Hallelujah. I was praying with somebody in the hospital the other day that I didn't know quite where they were at with the Lord. And they're talking about the prognosis and all the negative things and the reports. And it's almost like I thought maybe that's what they wanted. But then they continued to talk and we're talking about the Lord. She's like, but I know God could do a miracle. Somebody say a miracle. She was open to the idea. Somebody say, be open to him. Be open to him. Because no matter what the facts say, no matter what the math adds up to, he is Lord. Hallelujah. And they all sat at the table, probably moping. A lot of people, when they're, you know, sorrowful, depressed, just eat, just bring more. Or they don't eat, you know, starve or just feed it. Right? Or get a drink or whatever, right? And they're just moping. Could you? I hope we get to see some replays. Now, we don't want to be too hard on the disciples, though, because I don't want my replay showed either, right? You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure we'll hear about it, right? And all of a sudden, he appears as they sat at the table, and what did he do? He rebuked their unbelief. All of a sudden, somebody say, all of a sudden, there he is. All of a sudden, there he is. Wow. One of them probably was right in the middle of saying something negative. Those ladies, what are they thinking? They're just so emotional. He's gone. It's over. Now they want to kill us. And there he is. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. After, somebody say later. After he had risen. And he said to them, now after he rebuked him, somebody said after they, now I'm guessing, probably, I'm guessing, this is a guess, but I'm guessing after he rebuked them, they probably repented. Because how many know if you don't repent after you're rebuked, there's a problem. I mean, they probably fell on their faces. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. And he's probably, I mean, some of these coaches, that's one thing I have issues with sometimes with coaches nowadays, is I don't think a lot of them are really coaches. They're just kind of pep talk guys, right? Positive reinforcement, just motivational speakers. But if you go back to like Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, I mean, Phil Jackson said, I'm harder on Michael Jordan than anybody. Because if the rest of the team sees how I'm talking to Michael Jordan, they know none of them are safe. And I'll bet Jesus just started laying in. And it probably went and went and went and went and went. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Yes. Yeah. 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 And he probably went on and on and on and on. Why wouldn't you believe? Don't you remember when we were talking on the river? Don't you remember when we were over here? How about when you and I were gathering food together? I make an icon. And you. And you. Somebody say they repented for their unbelief. And because they repented, they became the original apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. Right? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Say hardness of head, right? Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go! This is the next step because they repented, got their hearts right. Now he says this. Now somebody say, this is the Great Commission right here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody say that. Go. Go into all the world. And somebody say all the world. There's a ministry that we met in at Andrew Womack's group that we're kind of getting to know. And it's called Iranian Christians. They minister to Iran. It's Iranians ministering to Iranians. And some of the stories, they send me a newsletter, and oh my word, some of the things. I mean, talk about putting your neck on the line. Somebody say it's all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the word preach means, let's look at the word go for it. It's in your notes there. To traverse, to travel. I remember Pastor Shelley did a message, I believe, years ago, and it was something to the effect of, we sow and they go. In other words, you're sowing, when we talk about Mission Sunday here in just a few minutes, you're sowing, literally, you might be sowing into places that you may never go to, but they go. So you're sowing, and then these certain people are the ones who physically go there and minister, whether it's Africa or Romania, or Israel, Japan. There's a lot of places. South America, Mexico, right? It's amazing what God does through our sowing, right? Go ye means to traverse, to travel, literally or figuratively, right? Especially to remove, figuratively, die, live, etc., depart, go away. How many know a lot of times God calls you to do something, we have to die to ourselves? Amen? You're literally taking the message of someone dying and raising again from the dead to the world, right? To depart, to go away, go forth, one's way, up, to make or take a journey, to walk. Hallelujah. Some of these people go places where there may not even be airports or paved roads or Starbucks, God forbid. Right? Hallelujah. They're taking the message of the gospel around the world. And on a day like Flag Day, thanks for reminding me of that, Paul and Bonnie. President Trump's birthday, Flag Day today. No nation in the history of the world has done more to get the gospel preached around the world than right here. And that's something to remember always. And I know our Lord remembers it always. Amen. We are blessed to be a blessing. Literally. Amen. It's a great responsibility. The word preach means to herald as a public crier, especially divine truth. Somebody say divine truth, right? The gospel, preacher, proclaim, publish. Amen. And the word gospel means a good message. Somebody say the gospel is the good news. The good news. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And I got this off of Blue Letter Bible app from the concordance, right? The glad tidings of the gospel. The glad tidings, somebody say glad tidings, of the kingdom of God soon to be set up, subsequently also of Jesus the Messiah, the founder of his kingdom. Somebody say the founder of his kingdom, of this kingdom. After the death of Christ, the term comprises also the preaching of concerning Jesus Christ as having suffered death on the cross to procure eternal salvation for the men in the kingdom of God, but as restored to life and exalted to the right hand of God in heaven, thence to return, somebody say later, to return in majesty to consummate the kingdom of God, somebody say hallelujah. Every creature means the whole, whosoever, everyone, somebody say everyone, should hear, at least have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen. Every creature, I love that word creature, the act of founding, establishing, building. I mean, these men that Jesus was rebuking and upbraiding were actually the ones that were founding, establishing, and beginning to build the church on planet Earth. And it's still, somebody say, it is still going today. There are still apostles today on planet Earth, but these are the original apostles, right? Amen. When the Apostle Paul came around, it went to, somebody say, it went to the next level when the Apostle Paul came in. So the Apostle Paul is a good example that it wasn't just these 11 guys. Somebody say amen. Rick Renner's got a great book that I've just finished reading over about 2.5 years. Rick Renner's books are like this thick. Apostles and Prophets. And I learned that about the apostle. Amen. These weren't the only 11. God is still using men and women. In fact, I believe Rick Renner himself operates in the office of an apostle. They just started a new church, I think, in St. Petersburg. No, that's Florida. In Russia. Another church in Russia. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So it's for everybody. It's for whosoever. It's not just for people of the Western mindset. That's what a lot of people would criticize. Well, you're preaching a Western mindset to the whole. No, it's not. It's a biblical mindset. A biblical mindset that goes way before. Now, this nation was founded on the Bible. Biblical precepts. So, yes. But you can take the Holy Spirit with you, the Word of God with you, and preach somewhere in a nation that's never heard of such things. And watch God move. Watch Him show Himself. Watch Him appear to somebody. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's the reason He came. Somebody say the reason He came. To seek and save that which was lost. The word seek means a plot, to plot, to desire, to endeavor, to inquire. Jesus desires. There's no human being on this planet that is undesirable to God. No matter how far down in the mud they are, He'll jump right down in the mud with them. And pull them, somebody say, and pull them out of the mud. Hallelujah. The muck and the mire. He's plotting it. He's endeavoring. He's inquiring. Where are they? Where do I go? Where should I go? That's a good thing for us all to be doing every day, is inquiring of the Lord. Father, show me. Just say that aloud. Father, show me. Am I doing what I need to be doing? Hallelujah. And let the Holy Ghost lead you. He'll take you around the earth in your intercessory room without even leaving your house. He'll take you places while you're dreaming. You'll have dreams of preaching the gospel somewhere around the world, and you don't know that you might actually have been translated by the Holy Ghost to that place, preached to somebody, and woke up in your own bed. This is the power of the Holy Ghost we're talking about. Somebody say glory to God. I've had such dreams, and wake up and you just feel the Holy Ghost all over you. You understand the power we're talking about here? Hallelujah forevermore. Plotting, desiring, endeavoring. His heart is the people. His heart is the people. And Satan, his endeavoring, his plotting, is to kill the people, destroy the people. Jesus' heart is to save. Somebody say save. Seek and save. Hallelujah. And that means to deliver, the word save, to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, to do well, to make whole. Hallelujah forevermore. And all we need to do, church, is remember how He did it for you. See, if we don't remember, if we don't have a point in our lives where we remember that's where He came in, then you may not be saved. If we can go back to that moment and say, here's where I made my decision for Jesus, here's where He came into my life, you're born again. And we should always come back to that and just remember, oh God, thank You. Thank You for delivering me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for bringing me to the truth. Thank You for helping me to come to a place of repentance in my life. And from that place, He will take you to places you never dreamed of. He's taken me all over the country. I've been to Mexico 3 times. I'm not even done. I've preached in New York City by a God-arranged thing. I've down all through California, in Mexico. I was down in Mexico in college. And there was a young man, we were with our Azusa Pacific University ministry team at a little church service, and there was this kid that just got out of jail. And he's just bare feet, just all dirty, and the pastor could not get him to come to Christ. And he's talking to the kid, and me and a couple of my friends were right there. And the Lord said, ask him if he wants to be free. I didn't speak Spanish like Lindsay. Ask him, and it just kept coming up. So I interrupted the pastor. I said, excuse me, ask him if he wants to be free. He said that. The kid was just no response. I said it again, ask him if he wants to be free. No response. I said, ask him again. I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And he said, see. And I said, if you receive Jesus Christ, this is from the Holy Ghost. If you receive Jesus Christ, He will set you free. Do you want to be free? See? And then I said, do you want, and the pastor's translating, do you want Jesus? He said, see, and he just broke. just began to weep and cry. And the pastor led him to Christ right there. The next day he was out on the street and spreading the gospel around to people. It was remarkable. Remarkable what God can do. The Holy Ghost. And he doesn't work the same way at all times for everybody. I tried that on a guy living on the streets in Portland a couple years ago. Came up to me. I said, "Do you want to be free?" You know what his answer was? "I am free." Deception. Deception. Right? Hallelujah. Well, we need to get to Mission Sunday. So, Father, bless our giving in Jesus' name. Do you want to hold the offering to the end, honey? And just do it all at once for pledges? Okay, so we're going to pray. We'll just welcome Pastor Shelley to come to the front, and we'll receive the offering. Just save your envelopes, because we're going to do our mission pledges and everything, so we'll pass it just one time. So would you all welcome Pastor Shelley this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yep. Good morning, everyone. So Lacey is passing out our missions pledge cards, and I will go over them really quickly. I sent out an email earlier in the week, and I apologize that it's been a little different. Normally you have multiple weeks that I'm sharing about what it's about and just with everything going on. So, but God's gracious, amen? So excited to be here. This is my favorite Sunday of the whole year. I just love missions. So the cards, what they are, is you're making a pledge today. You're not paying it today. It's just a pledge. We take all the pledges, we add them up, and then we, as the money comes in, we delegate it to the different missions groups. So it's our way of knowing what's going to be coming in for the next year. Does that make sense? And so I was sharing in your email that my heart, when I pray about this service and your pledges, is that it's not going to have to come from your budget. Amen. That's what I asked the Lord for. I asked the Lord that it's exceedingly and abundantly above, so that you're able to give out of the overflow. So what does that mean? That means your cup is so full that it's running over with finances. Amen? Amen. But that also means that we have to be diligent, and we have to be talking to the Lord when extra comes in. Amen? And asking him, does this go to my pledge, or is this something different? Right? Because not everything that extra comes in is for our missions pledges. But that's where you're talking to the Lord and asking him. Amen? So today, if you want to make a pledge for the 2026-2027, you just fill it out, and then when we do the tithes and offering, you can just put it in the basket. You will get that card back next week. We keep them for 1 week just so we can total up everybody's giving. And then at the end of a service, Lacey has the certificates of what you gave last year. So if you gave to missions last year, make sure you see Lacey. She has your certificate. So on the certificate, you'll see a picture. What was that? The scribe. Yes. You'll see a picture on there of a lady. That is, she was my best friend for many, many years, and loved missions with all her heart. And when she passed away, we decided to set up our missions as a memorial to her, and giving in her honor. So that's what her picture is on there. She was our biggest missions giver prior to even having a missions pledge. So Missions Sunday, I love missions. For those of you that don't know my background, I had a grandma that always gave to missions. Amen. Always gave to missions. She would do the little cards for the kids in different countries. They were associated with the Assembly of God and then Foursquare. So they had different organizations that they would do missions through. And And every Sunday when we would go over and hang out with them, she would pull out all the missions cards of all the kids of all the countries. And my brother and I would sit down and we would pray in the Holy Spirit over all those kids in all those different countries. And I remember at the time, as a kid, I didn't like it. You know, as a kid, you're like, Grandma, we've already been to church. We've already done the praying, you know, but she would say, no, they need Jesus, and our job is to pray and to give. And it was a seed that was planted in my life. And unlike Steve, I had no desire to go to any other countries. None whatsoever. I was a USA girl, and I was totally fine sponsoring somebody else. But in 9 months in my adult life, I went to 9 different countries.
Hallelujah.
9 different countries. And the Lord put such a passion in me for missions. It was like the seed my grandma had sown grew up and flourished in my own heart. And so around here, missions isn't we don't get up here and give you a bunch of sob stories and, you know, wah, wah, wah. No, missions is exciting. God is doing some amazing things around the world through this church. And do we have the clicker I wanted to show? No, I'm good. Okay, so I just want you to stop and look at this list.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. You can go to the next one. That was our missions pledge this year that you guys gave. Amazing. And that's the total so far since 2014 that this church has given to missions. I'll be honest with you. I know churches that are about 4 or 5, 10 times the size of us that don't give that to missions. So way to go, Redeemed Church. I mean, it's really Amen. A testament to your faithfulness, to your hearts. You know, you're sowing a seed. And I know we've had multiple missionaries share that offerings will arrive and you know, it just right when they need it, you know. But they're always the same. The heart is the same behind it, is that they not only feel our love by our gifts, but they feel our love by our prayers and our support, you know, and it makes a difference. They're out there on the battlefield, you know. I loved what Randy was sharing the other day about still not living in fear, because I remember when we prayed with their family, it was when the cartel was just going nutty in their neighborhood. They were having bombs going off and you know, shootings every night down the street, and your faithfulness to pray makes a difference. It makes a difference. So they don't have to be in fear anymore, right? They don't have to live in fear. And God has provided for every need. I remember they had needed a truck because he had been doing more ministry in the mountains in the surrounding areas, and the roads are not good, and a lot of them are inaccessible, and he had needed a truck, and I had been praying, and we had some leftover missions, and I told Steve, I said, I feel like it's supposed to go to the Mishlers, and I don't know why. And so I got a call like 2 days later from him. He's like, hey, Shelley, I just wanted to talk to you about something. And so we were talking, and I said, well, before you keep going, I just want to share what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I said, we have this amount, and I really feel like it's supposed to go to you guys. And does that sound right? And there was silence on his end of the phone. And then I could hear him sobbing. And he said, I've been praying for a week. And he said, down here, he said, you can get used vehicles. And he said, but most of the time, there's stuff that's major wrong with them. and you end up putting so much money into them, it's like you should just get something that's new. And he said, but I've been so scared to ask anybody else to help us to get a new truck because we're missionaries and I know what they're going to say. And he said, all week long, the Lord told me, you need to get a hold of Shelley. You need to get a hold of Shelley. You need to get a hold of Shelley. The amount that we gave them was the exact amount they needed to purchase the truck.
Hallelujah.
So they have a truck, and he testifies all the time to anybody and everybody that will listen to him. Truck that's able to go into the mountains. They don't have any issues. They don't have to have any repairs. But see, that's the difference between Redeemed Church and other places. We don't look at our ministries as second best. Are you listening? They're not second best. They're first in the kingdom of God. They're out there on the front lines. They need the tools that they need to be able to accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. And how awesome to know we have been able to do that. Amen? And so I just get so excited when I think about your hearts. I mean, you have amazing, amazing hearts in this place. And we've watched God do so many miracles over the years and just be encouragements. And I was thinking of the story, I don't know if you guys remember the story of Ara and Adi in Romania. We give to their ministry through Star of Hope. And they minister to children with disabilities. There's a lot of, it's mainly like it's stuff that's gotten in the water, stuff that's gotten into their soil through different things that are affecting the amount of children that are born with disabilities. But in their country, if your child is born with disabilities, you did something wrong. And it's God's way of punishing you. So it's a very hard place for a lot of these parents. So their ministry comes around these families and says, this is not because you did something bad. And they help them. They help them with their kids. They connect them with other families so that they can talk to other people and encourage each other. They take these families to the ocean and they give parents a break. Amen. Some of these parents have taken care of their child from day one. A lot of them single. One or the other parent will leave. And so they take them and they spoil them. The kids get to play in the ocean. They have all these people that help them. And I mean, it's just beautiful what God's doing. But I remember this one specific story. We had sent Ara some extra. And one night she was coming home and there was a car parked in front of her house. It was after all of the bombing started in, what's next door to them? Ukraine, thank you. In the Ukraine, and it was an Ukrainian license plate. She walked out, it was a younger couple, lady was pregnant, and she's like, do you guys need something? And he said, we're Christians, and the Lord told us to stop here tonight. And she said, huh, we're Christians too. Come on in. So they brought him in, fed them, let them take showers, and started talking with them, and found out that they had family that was willing to support them in the U.S. They just had to get to the U.S. So because of our gift of extra that we gave, they were able to use that to get them, I don't know, it was this dot-to-dot thing, but they ended up in the U.S. with their family, and they're thriving here now.
Wow. Hallelujah.
How is that? Is that awesome or what, church family?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God is faithful, amen? And he strategically puts times and moments together so lives are changed for eternity. Eternity. Japan has had, they've had a rough year, so to speak. They lost a couple family members, but the family members did give their lives to the Lord before they went home, which is what Akira has been praying for years. So even though they're home, they're with Jesus, which is a huge piece for them. Josiah is still finishing up school in California, their son. Their oldest daughter, Josie, is actually going to be coming to see us in September with Melanie, so we'll get to see her. We haven't seen her for, 8 years maybe? It's been a while. 10? Oh, wow. Anyway, so they'll be here, and then their youngest daughter, in Japan, you have to choose where you're going to go to high school, so you have to choose where you go to middle school. It's a very long process, but she got accepted into one of the really elite art schools, so it was a huge, huge deal for her. We do need to pray for her. She has to travel one way, I think is an hour and 15 minutes to get to school. So they have to use public transit and all that kind of stuff. So she's 14. So I know God covers them, but we'll keep her in our prayers. But they are doing very well as a family, so praise God. Who am I missing? Did you want to share about Nativia?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have pictures. Oh. Okay.
Amen. How you doing?
Good.
Amen. Yes. You're doing awesome. This number, I just want to pause for a minute on, not that it's all about a number, but a lot of churches have this thing called a building fund. If you notice, we don't have a building right now. And the Lord has never led us to have a building fund. Because how many know if we've been putting this money away for a building since 2014, that's not a drop in the bucket for a building. But I want you to notice that is seed for a building. That right there, hundredfold of that, that is your legal right to property, to buildings, to ministries that changes this area. This is strategic. God, divine leadership and ordain. And Shelly's done such a marvelous job over the years of spearheading this whole thing, but that's just one area we've been sowing, right? You have been sowing, not just in this church, but that means you're going to prosper.
Yes.
It means you're whatever you're breaking through in. So it's, somebody say this is a win-win. We just keep winning and winning, right? But this is Holy Ghost. We don't have a building fund. God has buildings, properties that will be debt-free and supernaturally acquired by the angels of God. Because why? Because Jesus is coming soon and we don't got time to put, $50 a week into a building, you know what I'm saying? Yes. So this is wonderful, right? And reaching the world at the same time. But this is Rabbi Joseph Shulam. His wife went to be with Jesus. Was it this past year? Yeah, so she's with the Lord, but Nativia, you can actually go to nativity.org. I'd get on their email list if I were you. They're a remarkable ministry in Jerusalem. His son actually lives in Tennessee, but they travel all over the place ministering and sharing our Jewish roots with the American church and the church around the world. Yes. He's still traveling. I just read an email this week. He's going to be going to Finland and Hong Kong and all these different places to teach. And but one of the wonderful things they do there is minister to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force soldiers in Israel. They teach Jews about their Jewish Savior. And right now, they're, because of all the warfare going on, they're putting aside money, like I think they said, 150 grand they're raising to build an ambulance that can respond every time a missile comes down. That ambulance will go right to that spot, minister to people, assess the damage. Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing things that they're doing, Nativia. So we just keep them in our prayers. But the portion of this sowing will be going to them, and it has been going to them for several years.
Yes.
And I've actually known him personally over the years. He would come and minister at New Beginnings. One great thing I remember, because I was a children's pastor back then, and we were having breakfast, and we were just having breakfast together. And in the car, I was thinking, you try to think when you're with somebody like that, I don't want to tell them what I'm doing and brag or whatever, you know. I want to ask the Lord, what should I, just give me a question to ask this man, you know. And I just came to me, I said, sir, what should we be teaching the children? And he said, teach them the whole Bible. Don't just teach them the New Testament, in other words. Christian church in America. Teach them Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and how it all plays. You know, but that was just such a beautiful moment. Teach the children the entirety of the Word of God, yes. Right? I love it. Yes. Amen. But they just keep going. So may God just, and he's had some health challenges as well himself. But we just lift them up in our prayers, and yes. We're sowing to that ministry, yes. In Israel. Amen. So there's some of that. Israel, the IDF soldiers. Oh, this is, I think, maybe on a automatic, but that's Ara and Adi in Romania, the work that's going on there with all those children, just beautiful people. He's actually been here before and spoke, I mean, years ago, our other location, but just, and all these, the cool thing about is all these have come out of relationships that we've had over the years with these people. So Melanie and Akira were our next door neighbors in Gresham. And just a divine appointment. They've been part of our family for so long. And Shelley shared about what they're doing. He's got a movement they do called Hello Jesus in Japan. Well, they just go out and sing and worship God in Japan out in public. He plays the stand-up bass. And all these. It's amazing what God is doing through them. Also, great heart for studying Greek. Oh, is that the alarm clock? destroy the clock. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, of course, you know, Randy was here a couple weeks ago, the Mishlers, and they're increasing. They've got a new daughter-in-law coming. They're going to get married very soon, Nico and Anna. And just beautiful, but the work they're doing, and just this month they're having the big, he shared briefly about the ministers' conference they're doing down there. In just like in a week or two, I think. Yes. So just, and then Togo, this is like on slideshow mode, so it just goes by itself. But Togo, Africa is remarkable. We've sewed into a school there. They got kids like out of trafficking, all kinds of stuff, and teach them a trade and just how to bring them to Christ, of course, have amazing ministry work going on there in Togo, Africa. That we met Jesse and, what was his wife's name? Jesse and Tiffany Shanks that are from Vancouver. We met them personally, and he was going over there and spearheading. They lived over there for a long time, but we've helped sew into a lot of the buildings there and projects that they've been doing. But so it's called Oikos School for Church Planning. So it's, you know, it's Togonese people ministering to Togonese people.
Yes,
it's remarkable. What God is doing, and the Fruit Church just goes and goes and goes and goes. Yes. So thank you, Regime Church family. You are making a difference around the whole world.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Pastor Shelley. Yes. Hallelujah.
I do want to point out as well that if you, most of the missionaries that we are supporting right now have the philosophy of the people reaching their people group. So like in Mexico, they're training up pastors, encouraging pastors to go back and encourage their congregations to go out. They do discipleship training schools at these churches to help the people in the church know how to go out and reach. The same in Japan. It's Japanese people reaching Japanese people. In Togo, like Steve was saying.
In Japan, that was a huge part of why they moved there.
Yes.
Was because if they know you're missionaries, they shut you down. They don't. But Akira himself, Japanese, lived there, grew up there, but they lived here for many years. They just decided, you know what? The Lord has put on our heart just to go and be a part of the community.
Yes.
Don't tell them we're missionaries. Just invest into the community, and that's been... You know, a lot of it is slow plowing.
Yes.
Seed planting one at a time, and God is moving, and they're doing amazing things God is doing there.
Yeah. But I think it's very awesome that each one of these countries, God is doing the same kind of thing where he's using the people in that country to reach the other people in the country. I mean, that's, you know, I know that the Shanks family, he told the Lord, he said, I'll go be a missionary, But I don't want to be one of those missionaries where you take me out and the whole thing falls apart. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that is a really cool concept. And he said his heart was to go build something with the people, be able to leave, and it still flourishes. And that's what they're seeing. They were able to go back as a family, I think about 2 months ago, just to kind of see what God is doing. And he said, I was so encouraged. He said, there's no holes. There's no gaps. He's like, it's like God's filled in the people of Togo in these places. And they're not just staying in Togo. They're going out beyond Togo into other countries around them, sharing the gospel. How awesome is that? That they're not just staying where they are, they're going out. And so just amazing things that God is doing. And I think I love the fact that we know that our seed is going into good soil and it's producing stuff. Does that make sense? For those of you who have not heard in Togo, one of my favorite stories that he tells is of this this young man that went through the discipleship training school, and it was right at the time that they were transitioning back to the States. And he said one of his lead guys sent him they do some kind of Skype kind of thing, and he's like, Jesse, you gotta pray. And he was like, why? He said, remember that young kid that came to the discipleship training school and was all fired up? And he was like, yeah. He's like, he went to this city to preach. And Jesse said, my stomach just got sick. And he's like, if hell has a place on earth, it's the city. And he's like, and this young kid just was like, no, God's called me. I'm going to go. And they said he went and held a meeting, left the meeting, came back to the discipleship training school and said, okay, I need you to explain to me what happened at my meeting. And the leader said, what are you talking about? He's like, well, all these bad guys showed up. And he said, but then everybody started talking in languages I didn't understand. He's like, it was like something fell on this meeting. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All these bad guys that came to interrupt and to make a mess of this service, they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. This young kid had no idea what happened.
Yeah, and I think Jesse was like Baptist or something. I don't know what he is, yes. But Jesse himself done praying tongues. He's like, I guess it's real, man. It's like, I saw it. I heard about it. You know, so it's
so anyway, it was so cool. Just, you know, the Shanks were like, this was amazing. Like, he went right into the gates of hell, and God went with him, and God fell and touched all these really evil men, and no harm came to the kid, and the city started changing. And, you know, all because somebody was bold enough to say, God called me, and so I'll go. And we played a part in that because we helped with the training school. So there's a place that they can go to be trained to go out. So just amazing stuff. I mean, they have a lot of testimonies of witch doctors. You know, Jesse was like, people in America have no idea. He's like, this stuff is real. He's like, it's evil. It's real. And he said they had multiple encounters with witch doctors that, like, they have territories in Togo. And so a lot of villages that they take over. And they started getting mad because their chants and their prayers stopped working because of this training school that was coming in. And they wanted to understand, how can you have so much power over me? Nobody has power over me, kind of a thing. And so he's told multiple stories of them getting saved and totally transformed and leaving their witchcraft behind and coming to Jesus. And so it's a real thing when you do missions. It's a real thing. And your seed is the offering that you're giving, right? But in the same breath, that doesn't mean we don't have a part to play here. And I want to challenge everyone this morning that you may never even have to leave American soil to meet somebody from a different country. God can bring them right to you at the store or the doctor's office. And we need to be built up in our faith to know I have something they need and be willing to share the good news that you have with them. Amen? And sometimes there's language barriers, but you know what the amazing part is? God goes beyond language barriers. We had a lady that we prayed with when I was in the hospital that was Hispanic, and I couldn't understand her, and she couldn't understand me, but she signed in a, like, kind of a sign language thing, and she said, "You pray. Yes, you pray?" And I said, "Yes," and she said, "Please." So I just laid hands on her and prayed for her right there, and she was crying, and yeah, I just believe the Holy Spirit, whatever she needed, she got, you know.
Shelly was trying to give her a $100 bill to thank her for her, but she couldn't take it because of, you know, they can't. So she just said, "No, but just pray for me." And boy, did Shelly pray. And the lady's weeping. And I bet that was a bigger blessing than a dollar blessing on her life.
But what I'm saying is we need to be ready. God has the world right here, all around us. And we need to be ready to also go and to speak the truth and love and see people set free. Amen? Amen. Is that it?
So, is there anything, any other instructions about how to pledge, or are they writing something on a card?
Oh, yes. Like the card you gave should have a place for your name and okay. Then your pledge, and then we'll do the offering, and you can just put it inside there.
Yep.
Please make sure you take a thank you bag with the treats. Inside there's something. Did you already go over that?
Nope, I haven't gone over that.
Okay, so inside there's something from every country that's represented.
A little goodie.
Yep. Yes, so the Pockies are from Japan.
Yep.
The Conchas are from Mexico. The corn nuts represent Africa. The candy is Romania.
Yep. And then the cheese curls.
I think they're peanut butter.
Are they peanut butter? Yeah.
Yeah. Peanut butter puffs are from Israel.
That's right. Yes, so enjoy. And we have more. If there's not enough bags for everybody, we can get you another one.
So, yes.
Amen.
Well, thank you guys so much for having this be a little bit different than normal and being patient with me. I appreciate it. I'm just so glad I got to
be
here.
You've been so
today.
Patient with us for so long.
So
amen. Well, do you want to pray then, honey?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's pray. So, Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for the seed, God.
Yes.
That has gone out around the world. And I speak to that seed and I say you will go beyond anything that we could imagine and provide for every need. As we go into this next year, Father, I thank you for what you've put on our hearts to give. Angels, I ask now that you would go forth and you would bring in every person's pledge, that it will be paid in full even before the year is out, because they'll have excess to give. Bless each person, Father, that is pledging this year. I just ask for a special anointing on their lives as they're sowing into somebody else. I ask that you would sow into their families. As salvations are around the world, I ask for salvations in their families. That as laborers go out into other people's fields, you're sending laborers into our family's fields. And that there's going to be such a harvest of souls this year like we have never seen before. Prodigals are coming home. Those who have been held captive are set free. We're not going to be limited in any way as a church family. Bless each one of our missionaries, Father. We thank you for being with Japan and the Hiraguris, being with Togo and Oikos and Mr. D and the place of refuge that he's making for the children. Thank you for being with Nativia, Father, and with Joseph, and as he's learning to walk this next stage of life, I thank you, Father, that he will not feel loss, but he will feel you right there with him. You're strengthening him, Father, to accomplish what you have for him to accomplish in these last days. Thank you, Lord, for being with Ara and Adi. I know sometimes it can feel weary as they fight the social standards around them and the government. I ask for a year of peace. Let the government come alongside them and learn from them. Provide for every need. I know their children need places to live. Both the girls and their married husbands, I ask you, Father, right now that you would provide a place for them both to live. Beautiful places, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And for Mexico, God, we just pray for this conference coming up. We pray for every pastor that's supposed to be there. They're going to be there. Nothing's going to keep them. I pray they're going to come and be refreshed and renewed and go back and have such a fire and such a zeal. I literally see that you're going to set Mexico on fire for Jesus. Corruption is going to be ended because your people are taking a stand. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your anointing on each of our missionaries and their families. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Yes, so Father, in Jesus' name, as we touch your precious seed, Father God, that people are sowing into the work of your ministry here and around the world, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that your gospel is being preached around the world. Every one of these nations and families and people that we spoke of today, we release your blessing on them, your encouragement upon them, your favor upon them in every area of their lives, your peace over their lives in every area, your safety and protection around them as they serve you in places that in many cases are just dangerous. We release your peace around them, your supernatural provisions around them, that your gospel will go forth preached unhindered, and the fruit will be eternal and lasting.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we give you the praise, Father God, for building your work here as well and blessing everyone's lives in every way that has sown their seed into these works.
Thank you, Jesus.
Eternal reward.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' wonderful name.